Well, that's good. After I told Kevin I would come up here and talk, I almost wrecked the truck, end up in the emergency room, and my week at work was just a bad week. But anyhow, we survived. I wasn't sure where to start when at first when I had seen or heard other people speak. I was like, oh, I could do that. I could get up there and talk about my life. And then I told Kevin I would, and then my mind just goes blank. I was like, what am I going to talk about? Well, there's this poem that I like, and it's called Journey to the Grave. It says, life is not intended to be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a well-preserved and attractive body, but rather to skid in sideways with chocolate in one hand and Pepsi in the other, throwing confetti, screaming, woohoo, what a ride. And that is how I try to live my life. Of course, you all know that I must have confetti. And Kevin told me I could throw confetti today, but I don't want Marcy to be mad at me, so I didn't bring any confetti. I know. And I had some really cool confetti, too. It comes out of a tube, and you just throw it. It's cool. Anyhow, I was born August 2nd, 1970, about 3 o'clock in the morning in Dodge City, Kansas. Mom wasn't quite sure the time. She said she didn't quite remember it. So I became a daughter, granddaughter, great-granddaughter, niece, and grandniece. I was the first child. I have two younger brothers. And I was actually the first grandchild on both sides of the family. So I was a pretty important child. But in Luke 12:48, it says, for everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And when I look back at my life, I think that that's true for my case, because not only am I a daughter, a granddaughter, a great-granddaughter, a niece, a grandniece, I'm an aunt, I'm a role model, I am a teacher, and I'm a coach. And with all of those things comes huge responsibility. And I don't always live up to that responsibility, but I try. And I wanted to tell you the story of how I came to this church. I know Steve and Eva know it, but I don't know that the rest of you do. But in 1990, I came to Fort Hays as a college student, and I had a work-study job. And I worked on campus, and I lived in the residence halls. I lived in McMidas Hall, and I worked for Bruce Heath, who ultimately worked for Steve Colvin. Some of you may recognize that name. And I would just do odd jobs, whatever Bruce needed, whatever Bruce wanted. Well, Steve was, of course, always in the residence halls, and I got to know Steve. And he knew that I was homesick for my animals, and he and Eva were going to California at one time to see Mary. And he asked if I would come over and meet his wife and so that I could take care of Gizmo, with the cat, and water the plants while they were gone. And I said, sure. And so I went over to the house, and we had supper. I met Eva. And after supper, Steve had to go back to work. And now that I look back on it, I think he planned it that way. But he had to go back to work, so Eva and I just sat, and we visited, and we visited, and we visited, and we visited. And the question of where do you go to church came up. Well, at that time, I didn't go to church. I was born, or I was raised Catholic, basically. I had First Communion, baptism, confession, all that, confirmation. And when I was 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there, my mom left the Catholic Church. She had wanted to start a women's Bible study. And the priest told her that she was not capable of reading the Bible and interpreting the Bible, and she could not have a study. And about the same time, they were having a fundraising, and every family who donated $500 or more got this really pretty wood and handmade wooden lacquered cross. It's just really pretty. Well, the families who didn't give that money, their names were put up on the bulletin board. And so that was it for my mom. She left the Catholic Church, and we never had to go back. And well, then when I came to Fort Hays, I didn't go to church. And occasionally, though, we would go to the Evangelical Church in Lindsberg, which is very familiar. And I liked it there, but I would go there when I would be home on weekends from college. And one day the preacher asked me, he says, "All right, so are you going to church anywhere in Hays?" "Well, no, not." And I said, "Well, I can't find a church that's like this church." Of course, I was, you know, making up stories. I hadn't been trying, hadn't been looking. And he said, "Well, you know, there's the Hays Christian churches out there. They're a bit different, but overall, they're an okay kind of people." So, that being said, going back to Eva and I visiting and talking, and Eva said, "Where do you go to church?" And I said, "I don't go anywhere." But then I told her the story of what Pastor Lyle had said to me, and she started laughing. I couldn't figure out why she was laughing. She looked at me, she said, "Well, child, where have you been?" And I just kind of looked at her, and she goes, "What church do you think we go to?" And I go, "The Hays Christian Church." And she goes, "Yes." She goes, "I'll see you Sunday." So, that next Sunday, I was there. And I came in the door, and nobody said anything to me. At the time, there was no greeters, or at least that I don't remember. So I was able to sneak in, and I sat in the back row. And I was like, okay, so far so good. Well, then church started, and Eva came in. She had been over across the street, which I didn't know across the street existed. And she came in because she had been over with the kids, and she saw me. She gave me a hug, and she said, "Come sit with me." I'm like, okay. Well, I'm thinking she's going to go a couple rows up from the back row. No. Eva comes to the front row. And I'm like, okay, you can do this. You're okay. Well, I remember that day because Betty was presiding. And Betty had said, you know, Eva has a visitor. And then Eva introduced me. And I was just like, oh, I'm never going back there again. Because I prefer to be anonymous and in the back, like you could be in the Catholic Church. But anyhow, so that was 21 years ago. Time flies. 22? Yeah, I don't do math, so somewhere around in there. But in that time, I have added a VBS helper, VBS teacher, Sunday school teacher, Sunday school helper. To my list of responsibilities. And I remember Tanya and I talking one time, and you know, we were talking how the women of the church, how wonderful role models they were for us. And the more we talked, it was like that verse, and I didn't write it down, but it says, you know, that the older women shall teach the younger women. And then we realized, oh crap, we're the ones that are supposed to be doing that now. And so I remember that conversation with Tanya and I. It's pretty fun. But the times in your life, you know, when things come up and life goes up and down and up and down, like a roller coaster. I just know that you have to trust in God. Because there's nothing else. Because when you have nothing else and you have no place else to go, there is God. It's like, you know, He's waiting there. He's waiting for you to come. And Bubba is going to read a poem. I like quilts and I like color. And I think this poem really fits in what I'm trying to say here today. And he's reading it because I had planned to have my contacts in today. And I can't see the print. So, he has to read it for me. That's it. Thank you.
We'll pray for you before Bubba reads the poem. But I will say, we're very glad that you had that conversation with Eva and that you came. And we know that you like color.
Yes.
And confetti. And I appreciate our friendship and all the work that you do here at the church. And
Thank you.
Let's pray for Billy. God, our Father, we just thank you for our friend Billy. We thank you for the way that you love her and the way that you have guided her here to Hayes Christian Church, and ultimately, Father, the way that you guided her unto you. We just ask that you would be with her, give her patience and love and guidance as she goes through her day. And we just ask that you would watch over her, God, and that she would be just glorified by the power of your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
I think she left out a whole bunch of stuff that she could have put in there.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I did.
Marrying me might have been one of them, but anyway. Quote of Holes. As I faced my Maker at the last judgment, I knelt before the Lord along with all the other souls. Before each of us laid our lives like the squares of a quilt in many piles, an angel sat before each of us sewing our quilt squares together into a tapestry that is our life. But as my angel took each piece of cloth off the pile, I noticed how ragged and empty each of my squares was. They were full with giant holes. Each square was labeled with a part of my life that had been difficult, the challenges and temptations I was faced with in everyday life. I saw hardships that I endured, which were the largest holes of all. I glanced around me. Nobody else had such squares. Other than a tiny hole here and there, the other tapestries were filled with rich color and bright hues of worldly fortune. I gazed upon my own life and was disheartened. My angel was sewing the ragged pieces of cloth together, threadbare and empty, like binding air. Finally, the time came when each life was to be displayed, held up to the scrutiny of truth. The others rose, each in turn holding up their tapestries. So filled their lives had been, my angel looked upon me and nodded for me to rise. My gaze dropped to the ground in shame. I hadn't had all the earthly fortunes. I had love in my life and laughter, but there had also been trials of illness and wealth and false accusations that took from me my world as I knew it. I had to start over many times. I often struggled with the temptations to quit, only to somehow muster the strength to pick up and begin again. I spent many nights on my knees in prayer, asking for help and guidance in my life. And I had often been held up to ridicule, which I endured painfully each time I offered it up to the Father in hopes that I would not melt within my skin beneath the judgmental gaze of those who unfairly judged me. And now I had to face the truth. My life was what it was, and I had to accept it for what it was. I rose and slowly lifted the combined squares of my life to the light. An awe-filled gasp filled the air. I gazed around at the others who stared at me with wide eyes. Then I looked upon the tapestry before me. Light flooded the many holes, creating an image, the face of Christ. Then our Lord stood before me with warmth and love in his eyes. He said, every time you gave over your life to me, it became my life, my hardships, and my struggles. Each point of light in your life is when you stepped aside and let me shine through until there was more of me than there was of you. May all our quilts be threadbare and worn, allowing Christ to shine through.